Hallelujah. Can we do that louder? Hallelujah. Today, God will meet you on the point of your need. In the name of Jesus. Today, God will touch your body. In the name of Jesus. Today, God will put an anointing on your life that will guarantee your destiny. Today, God will wage war against anything that stands in the way of your possibility. The hand of God will come strong on you. Can you make that expectation a prayer in a moment of time? And say, Lord, I make demands on heaven. I make demands on your grace. I make demands on your anointing. That tonight will be a night of destiny, such that many years after today, I will reference this meeting as a time that God scheduled an encounter to transform my life. Oh, we give you glory. And we give you praise. Help us tonight. Empower us tonight. Have mercy on us tonight. Let everyone that came into the conference never go back the same. Heal the sick of thy infirmities. Touch the destinies of everyone. Empower every single person with the grace that is needed to prosecute destiny. This is your night. Take the stage. Take the pulpit. Seize my vocal cord. Do that which only you can do. Glorify yourself. Make for yourself a great name. Oh, we look to you tonight. We look to you tonight. We look to you tonight. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask that you roll away the stone and let that which have been trapped find an opportunity to escape in Jesus' name. Please make somebody welcome as you take your seat. God bless you indeed. Turn your Bible quickly to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, what we see is a capacity building effort that Jesus put in place to equip the functionaries that will be saddled with the responsibility of extending the frontiers of the kingdom of God. And we see several critical matters that Jesus raised during the course of the capacity building effort. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, has given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, They asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which God, which the Father has put in his own power. Can we read verse 8 together? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' mighty name. First of all, the writer of the book of Acts referenced a former treatise that was written to a certain noble called Theophilus. It is this introduction that gives us an insight into the person that is responsible for the literary work that we call the book of Acts. Because by the time you go to the book of Luke, you will see the former treatise that he spoke about. And he gave a summary of the book of Luke in one verse. The former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. This is Luke's summary of the book of Luke, Dr. Luke. He summarized the entire book of Luke, and in his words, he said that the book of Luke was a summary of everything that Jesus began to do and also to teach. Now, if you follow this rendering and this summary, you will find out that the teaching ministry of Jesus was predicated on a certain kind of doing. Are you still with me? What exactly does Luke mean by do? He began both to do and to teach. If you go into details in the book of Luke that he referenced here, you will find out that for 30 years in the life of Jesus, his job description was to obey his Father. You might ask, how do we know this? We know this from the moment Jesus came for John the Baptist's baptismal service, and there was an opportunity for the Father to speak about how he perceived the Son. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was well pleasing to his Father because Jesus only did such things that gave his Father pleasure. At this time, Jesus had not performed any miracle. He had not raised any dead. But he had a secret affection with his Father, and he wanted to be that person that will always give him pleasure. So you could see that his teaching ministry was predicated, was established on the foundation of outright obedience to his Father. Now, the teaching ministry we are talking about was for 3 years, and the doing of obedience was for 10 years, 3 decades. So 1 year of teaching standing on the foundation of 10 years of obedience. That was the reason why his teaching ministry had so much authority and it had the backing of God. But today, we take off like a tornado. Then we do 30 years of teaching on 3 years of obedience. May the Lord give us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that he highlights in this presentation. The need to be robust in our life of obedience to God. Now, the average believer sees God as a philanthropist. He sees God as someone that has so much treasure and is looking for where to deposit it. Now, the Bible says, are you still following me? The Bible says that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God is set to do to them that love him. There is a program for them that love God. Even though there are many things that God does because he loves people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There are so many things God does because he loves us. But it must be understood that there are dimensions of things that are only available for those that love God. When we begin to climb the ladder, you realize why we have so many people that are believers in the Lord Jesus, and only few among us have been able to adequately apprehend the resources of grace that God has made available in order for us to be equipped effectively to prosecute our God-ordained destiny. And the first thing that hits our face when we begin to study the book of Acts of the Apostles, which is like an apostolic textbook that is written for all ages on how to exercise the dominion mandate territorially and to hoist the flag of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from territory to territory. This is the script. This is the textbook for all apostolic people. And the first thing we are challenged with in the very first verse of this great manual of territorial takeover is the issue of obedience to God in so much that we become objects that please him. That was the secret strength behind the ministry of Jesus. So if you came with a script, you came with a pen, you came with a paper, the first thing that you may need to put down, not just on your paper, but also on your heart, is that the extent to which we will go with God in terms of fulfilling his will for us will be determined greatly by our level of compliance in the matter of obedience to God. All right. Are you still with me? You know, I said that the book of Acts chapter 1 opens us up to a capacity building initiative that Jesus put in place to equip the functionaries that will be saddled with kingdom responsibility. The Bible says that the description of Jesus' activity until the day that he was taken up was that he was walking in obedience and teaching the gospel of the kingdom. Until the day in which he was taken up, after which he, through the Holy Ghost, and giving commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. You see, the idea of Acts chapter 1 is for us to see intrinsically the commandments that Jesus gave to the functionaries that will carry on the labor of the gospel. Are you there? Right. Next verse. The first thing, even though this capacity building program, this seminar, was free, But the fact that it was a free training program doesn't make it available to the general public. In order for you to be qualified to participate in this capacity building program that we are talking about, you will need to have fulfilled certain requirements. Are you still with me? You are not following me, but I know you are hearing what I'm saying. Yeah, I know that. I'm sure of that. The only thing I'm not sure of is if you understand what I'm saying. So one of the qualifications that you must have in order for you to be admitted into Jesus' capacity building program for the training of our apostles, because the Bible says he gave commandments unto the apostles that he had chosen. It means there were many apostles, but he chose some deliberately to be part of this conference. It is only the ones that he chose that he gave commandments to. Now, you see, that's the difference between Jesus' training and campus education. In the scenario of campus education, a professor may come and begins to dispense knowledge, even though he knows much more than what he's dispensing. But he's dispensing according to the requirement of the syllabus. In Jesus' capacity building program, he doesn't just come to dispense knowledge. He doesn't just come to unveil the content of a syllabus or a scheme of work. Jesus comes to give commandments. Now, are you there? And I know this from verse number 2. Comes to give commandments. Now, one of the proofs that he has chosen you is that he will give you what? He will do what? So if God has not started giving you commandments, it might be that he has not chosen you yet. If he doesn't come, if he has not come to your relationship life to say, "Hey, sister, jump out of that relationship." If he has not done that to you before, it may mean that you are not yet chosen. That's the reason why he's not spending time to bring capacity building to you. Because he didn't choose you. There were many apostles, but it was only the apostles that he chose, that he did what to them? He gave them commandments. If you have not started giving commandments to your financial life, how to spend money. Say you spend like this. Okay, no, you can't spend on that. He gives you commandments for each and every aspect of your life. That regimented kind of life that he begins to prescribe to you is only suggestive of the fact that he has chosen you for the apostolic conference. He has chosen you for the seminar. We have Christians sitting here today, and indeed probably pastors of and preachers of the gospel that do not understand, have no experiential knowledge of what I'm talking about when I say God gives commandments to those that he has chosen. And if you are a minister of the gospel and you don't know this, you are so bankrupt that you don't have what it takes to prosecute that calling. Because it is your work of obedience in the commandments that he gives that gives you an opportunity to know the ways of God. For instance, I was in the oil industry in my country. That was the best job in my country. I got the best job in my country. The best of the best from the universities are picked to function in the oil industry. And I was the only one from my campus that got that employment. So, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now, so I met the best guys from other schools, met the best people, and it was a group of highly intelligent young people that are normally brought into that kind of employment. So I was one of them, okay? And As at the time I got the employment, I think altogether we were like 120 people that were employed, yes, into this industry. And it was an exciting thing. Are you there? The first thing they do when you get an employment into the oil industry is training. Yes, you got first class in chemistry, got first class in chemical engineering, got first class in mathematics, got first class. They bring everybody together, and then they tell you that you don't know anything. It is only what they teach you that you can use to work in the oil industry. So they begin to, what we call it, we call it calibration. They begin to recalibrate your brain. If one of the things you are supposed to do is to pick this handkerchief and drop it on this speaker, they will draw up a manual on how you will do it. You are not following what? They will draw up a manual as to how you will lift this handkerchief, how many steps you will take. Everything has a practice and procedure manual. So that if they are investigating a near miss, it is very easy to investigate it if all the details, they know the questions to ask and know that this man did not follow the manual. What we are about to see here, are you there? Is the manual that Jesus used to train the apostles. It is this training that guarantees that there will be apostles today that have the capacity to extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God. And the way it is, are you there? When he chooses you to be part of the functionalist that he wants to equip, his method of dispensing influence is by giving commandments, not by giving lectures. He gives what? So I was in the oil industry. My salary for 1 month can buy a car. Yes. Yes. My house rent, my salary for 1 month can pay my house rent 2.5 times. That is in a year. Are you following? 1 month's salary can pay my annual house rent 2.5 times. Yes. So my house rent, my salary, if I take it to a car shop, I can drive a car out of the car shop. That's what I'm talking about. Now, if you know Lagos, I know some of you know Lagos. You have been to Lagos. Or if you have not been to Lagos, you have watched Lagos on television or something. In Lagos, the poorest people in Lagos use the yellow buses. The yellow buses of Lagos is the equivalent of your trotro in Accra. I've not seen anyone here. Are they here? So it means that the situation here is worse than that of Accra. I didn't say that. We're just trying to analyze, okay? I was in the place of prayer, and God spoke to me clearly in a way that I could not escape. What did he say to me? He said, don't buy a car. Use the yellow buses. You know, I told you that my salary can buy a car every month. Are you there? Then the great one now comes to me, gives me a commandment, don't buy a car, use the yellow buses. So I thought he wanted to test me for some months. The test lingered for 7 years. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you are not equipped to manifest kingdom dominion. Because you don't know what it means to be giving commandments. He was not suggesting that I should do or think about it. He said, don't buy what? A car. Use the yellow buses. And I used them for 7 years. It was after 7 years, she now told me that I can buy a car now if I want. So I now asked him, why is it that he insisted that I should not buy a car? He says the reason is because he wanted me to understand that the quality of a man's life does not depend on the possessions that he has. I now asked him, I said, is it not possible for you to have taught me this in Bible study? If you are understanding me, say amen. Yeah. This lecturer that is coming to equip apostolic people for engagement, he doesn't come for lectures like that. He comes as an authority, as government, to give you instructions. Now, if you become foolish enough to obey his instructions, you will, in the process, know his ways. The knowledge of the ways of God. I hope you must have read in your Bible that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I like it from one translation, but it will take me time to bring it out of my Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, that is what understanding is. There are many scriptures you won't be able to understand if you have not yet walked with God and discerned his ways, that is intermeddled with the instructions and the situations he allows you to confront. So the first thing we see is that this, our lecturer, gives commandments. Because of the 7-year treatment he gave me about cars, it doesn't matter whether I trek to this place. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't matter whether I use the bike. Because sometimes when we go on missions, we use canoe. Yes. This is my pastor with red. You can't. With his village. After his village, we have to use canoe to go to the other side. So there is no means of transportation that I don't use. You can see me flying business class last week and using canoe this week. The reason why I can adapt like that is because once upon a time, the great one came and gave me a commandment and said, don't buy a car. Use what? Yellow buses. And he purged every prestige. He purged every prestige that people draw from possessions away from my heart completely. And I assure you, completely. Now, are you still following me? Years later, it was like 3 years ago, a millionaire in Nigeria bought a car, Range Rover, imported it from the United States. Imported alloy rims from Dubai. Other men helped me with the calculation. The rims was 3 million Nigerian naira. The car, 43 million Nigerian naira. That's 46 million Nigerian naira. Convert it to Ghana City so that my audience can appreciate what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Yeah? What? 766,000. Thank you. So that's the cost of the car. I was to fly to Accra from Lagos. So the guy now asked someone to use the car and take me to the airport. The car I'm talking about still had leather bags on the seat. I know you have not seen a car like that. You see it on television and on Facebook. The one I entered had what? Leather bags on the seat. And the seat was ox blood. A very rare color to find in the car. In fact, when they took me to the airport and a policeman saw me, he saluted instantly. Gave me cover up. Gave me backup. That these kind of people that come from this kind of vehicle should be protected. I have no business with it. I don't know what he's doing, but it's all about the car. When we traveled to Accra, finished what we wanted to do, and I came back, God encountered the man while I was away and told him that that man that rode in your car is the owner of the car. No, stop there. Don't stop. You are hearing the wrong thing. Now, having trained me for 7 years, he knew that if he gives me, it will interest me to know that I'm the only one that owns that car in my state, in Nigeria, by the grace of God. Okay, stop this. I'm just, you are not following me. When I say God will give you commandment, nobody clap. When I now say that someone was led to, you like that one. That's why my own was for 7 years, 7 years forging. Your own will take, the way I'm saying it, it will take a longer time to achieve. So when he gave me that car, because of the training the Lord had passed me through, the vanity that was connected to the car could not affect my heart. Because it was forged by a commandment. My question tonight is he giving you commandments? If he's not giving you commandments, take it from me, you are not chosen. First thing that he does, when he begins to gather people to train them for apostolic labors, is that he begins to regulate every aspect of their lives with commandments. Second thing he does, the Bible says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his suffering. The second thing he does to his functionaries is that he shows them his resurrected self. You see, it is difficult to take a man that has not encountered the risen Jesus. It's difficult to take him deep in the things of God. If you have not encountered the risen Jesus, it will be difficult to advance you deeper in the course of God. I'm not talking about people that attended a Bible study. I'm talking about people that have encountered the risen Jesus. The second thing he does to people that he's hoping that they will represent him is that he shows himself alive unto them. So that they will not preach a Jesus that they were told, a Jesus that they heard about, but a Jesus that they have seen, a Jesus that they have touched, a Jesus that they have handled. I know you are not following me. So you will hear people like Apostle John say, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, we have seen the risen Jesus. We have gone beyond the grave and seen his mastery that death could not consume. So if you know that he stood face to face with death and overcame death, then there is no challenge that is in your life that you cannot overcome. This encounter is going to facilitate your trust in God. And if you do not trust God, you cannot gain mileage with God on the journey of destiny. Are you still with me? So that's the second thing he will do to you. And don't want to go into all the details of encounters I've had with Jesus. Because those encounters are the things that will deepen your conviction. Especially when you are faced with persecution. When people are beginning to deal with you because of the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. If you do not have any encounter with the living Christ, you will not be able to trivialize the persecutions. And Jesus knew what his apostles were going to encounter as they attempt to herald his kingdom, his power, and his glory. So the second thing that he did in order to equip them was to show himself alive unto them. And when we say showing himself alive unto them, we're not saying that he did a Bible study and showed them from Isaiah that he was supposed to rise from the dead, showed them from Jeremiah that he was supposed to rise from the dead, showed them from Ezekiel that he was supposed to rise from. That's not what the Bible says. How did he show himself alive after his suffering? He did that by many infallible proofs. You are not with me. Where is my brother of yesterday? I hope you dealt with that matter. Because tonight, we have red eyes tonight. Our eyes are red. Our eyes are red. Are you with me? Everyone, have you ever heard someone that is very, very discouraged speaking? Maybe someone that has been trusting God for the fruit of the womb and the first year after marriage, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, 11th year, 12th year. If you hear such people speak, in most cases, the people begin to express their frustrations, express their defeat, express their depression. If you have ever encountered the living Jesus and he has ever given you infallible proofs, it will be difficult for you to doubt in spite of circumstances. Many of us in this place, your faith walk with God is questionable because there is no depth of encounter. So when you come under a little pressure, you will snap. Meanwhile, Jesus was preparing them to confront kings, to confront systems, to confront darkness, to confront wickedness. One of the things he did to them was to emboss the reality of his resurrection upon them by providing evidence. I know that we are aware of the fact that when Jesus rose from the dead and showed himself to the disciples in the book of John, that Thomas was not there. When Thomas came to meet the other disciples and they told him that, we have seen the Lord. Thomas came with some questions. He said, except I examine the side where he was pierced and I see the hands where the nails pierced, I will not believe. So, hence the need for infallible proofs. God knows what he will do to you that we register the fact that he's alive to you. He knows it. For me, I was born in Samara. And I was next to dumb. And I couldn't speak. In terms of intelligence, I believe I was not bad. If I tell you otherwise, I'm lying. That's why I'm just telling you the way it is. In terms of intelligence, I wasn't bad. But I couldn't speak. Alright? So what Jesus did to me, the infallible proof he gave me that has cleared my doubt in spite of circumstances and situations is that he gave me the ability to speak. You may not know my condition. My condition was terrible. My condition was bad. My ability to communicate, I didn't have that ability. But I know when Jesus encountered me and gave me the ability to communicate. I mean, not just talk, to communicate precisely. So that, I'm talking about spirit-energized communication that can relate the heart of God to the heart of man. He gave me that ability. And that was what convinced me. That is a sign I carry in my body every day that reminds me of the living Jesus. If you bring persecution on me and that persecution cannot reverse my ability to speak, then to me, Jesus is still alive. If your persecution is strong enough to reverse the miracle that I have in the ability to use my vocal cord, if it can reverse it, then it might shake my faith. But as long as I still retain this touch, this fresh touch of grace upon my life, then my Jesus is alive today. Jesus knows that aspect of your life that if he touches, you will believe him all the days of your life. And when he wants to prepare you for this kind of assignment, he touches that area. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right, I've gotten ahead of myself. It will interest you to know that the scope of the seminar was 40 days. And 40 days is the arithmetic interval of days from whence Jesus resurrected from the dead and from whence Jesus ascended bodily into the heavens. It was a distance of what? 40 days. Now, Jesus knew that his disciples were not equipped to carry the burden of the gospel, and he had just 40 days left to straighten them out. Guess what he preached during the course of these 40 days? Because there are so many teachings in the Bible. He preached the essence of the Bible. You know, there's prosperity in the Bible. Prosperity is guaranteed by a certain covenant that God made with Abraham. That's the source of blessing for all the families of the earth. And the extent to which you are related to Abraham guarantees how much of that blessing you can enjoy in your earth walk. That is the foundation of the doctrine of prosperity. There are so many things in Scripture that he would have preached. But for the 40 days that Jesus had to dispense the burden of the Lord, the title of the seminar that he organized was pertaining to things of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was what God was inviting Adam into, that Adam, through rebellion, missed out. It was not Adam's fault that got lost in Eden. Adam's problem was not a prosperity problem. Okay, let me stop. You're already all offended, so. Let me just flow with you at your level. Maybe when you have gone through the wilderness for another 5 years, you will desire what I have to teach you. There are many things in the Bible. But when Jesus had 40 days left, the only thing he spoke about was the kingdom of God. Are you there? That was the theme of the seminar, the theme of the capacity building program that he was putting together to equip the saints. I don't have time. But I can show you. I didn't bring my other diary. I summarized the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I can read it out in 45 minutes. You will see that the thread from beginning to end
The subject of the Bible is the subject of the kingdom. The Bible is a book that reveals how God administers his kingdom and how God bequeaths influence, how he exercises influence in order for his government to become the reigning principle in the entire universe. So I can prove it to you from Genesis to Revelation without missing any book of the Bible that the theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God. The Bible, even though there is prosperity in the Bible is not a book on prosperity. Even though there is breakthrough in the Bible is not a book of breakthrough. So if as a pastor, all you do is breakthrough, you are pioneering something that is dissociated from the original center of God's emphasis. And if God gets ready to walk, he will need to collapse that thing you are doing in order for him to bring the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Are you there? That's number two. Number three. The third thing Jesus unveils in the lecture came out of a body. It came out of a question that one of the functionaries threw to Jesus. Because at that time, Israel was not a self-governing nation. So they brought a political question to class. And they asked Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? Are you there? Oh, you're not following. Can we analyze that question? Meanwhile, this is not my lecture. I'm just trying to introduce my lecture. It's an introduction. When we arrive at where I'm going, you will know. Hallelujah. Today, something will happen here today. Something. Hey. A question was thrown at Jesus. Seeing that the subject of the lecture Jesus was giving was about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Are you there? These guys did not understand. As Jesus was teaching, it was obvious that the comprehension of the participants was on zero level. They were not comprehending what Jesus was teaching. How do we know this? The question that they asked. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God that is domiciled in the third heavens, influencing our civilization as men, so that each and every one of us takes the definition and the emphasis of his life, not from earth, but from that place where the throne of God is situated. We become carriers of his will upon the face of the earth. And through our efforts, his influence on earth will extend. Are you there? Now, when the time came for the guys to ask questions, they did not ask about the kingdom of God. Did you notice that? Their question was political. They said, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? Will you make Israel a self-governing nation? We've been under the yoke of the Romans. We've tried to revolt. We've tried a revolution through the Zealots. It has turned to futility. So, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? The first thing is that question is out of sync with the emphasis that Jesus was teaching. Are you there? I was expecting Jesus to say, wrong question. Or to drive that person that asked the question from the lecture, that you have not been participating. That was the expectation. I was expecting discipline on that person. for asking such an irrelevant question in the midst of this lecture of gravity that Jesus was bringing across. But instead of driving the guy away, Jesus used his question and converted it to the lecture. He said, it is not for you to know. Jesus, go and read his words. Read. Nobody spoke like him. Nobody. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has set in his power. Do you know? Are you there? The third thing Jesus said to them is that the purposes of God. I think I need to do. Where did you leave this one? I've not known you with this one. Why did you move there? You see, the problem has started. You people did not solve this problem. Jesus Christ. You better solve it too. Because today, even you people, those people on the, you can't even stop what God wants to do today. So you better solve it. You can't. You are not. Are you there? The third point Jesus raises is that all the purposes of God find expression in times and seasons ordained by the Father. I don't know how to explain this to you. If I forget about that point, you can't. It may be beyond this class. Forget about the point. There are two words for time in the Greek. And those two words for time are used in this scripture. The first word for time is too loud. Oh my God. Don't use the pedal. Alright. There are two words for time in the Greek. One is chronos. It is from the word chronos that we have chronological time. And just like the word sounds, that's how it is. Chronological time. Then we have kairos, which is the opportune time. How many of you attended a boarding secondary school? Boarding house. When was the dining time in the evening? Yeah? 6 p.m. or 5 p.m.? 5 p.m. Alright, so 5 p.m. is the kairos time. That is the opportune time. Every other time leading to 5 p.m. is chronos time. But the time of harvest, where you have an opportunity to catch in, is the kairos. These two words were used in this verse of scripture. When Jesus was responding to them, he said, let me read it to you from the Greek Bible. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the chronos, that word times, there is chronos, or the kairos time, the chronos or the kairos time, which the Father has put in his own power. Now, if you people were all ministers, I would have explained that scripture, but because many of us are not theologians, so let's forget about that scripture. It is not for you to know the times all the seasons, which the Father has set in his own authority. Have you read the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that says, for everything there is a time, and for every time there is a season under heaven? It means if God wants to bring revival to Tamale, it is captured within a certain prophetic season. And when that prophetic season begins to come, what God does is that He makes grace available. The spirit of intercession begins to catch people. And as people begin to respond to the grace that is made available to actualize that season, then the season begins to open. In order for you to actualize anything that God wants to do, you must be able to interpret seasons. You must know your Chronos time. You also must know your Kairos time. Those of you that went to boarding school, you knew that if you were not in the dining by 5 p.m., you were going to miss food. Is that so? Meanwhile, if it is 4 p.m., you can be dancing and you are not missing anything. But you cannot be dancing by 5 p.m. because there is a window that is open for you to get a harvest. That's how the journey of destiny is. Someone can start a church because the Lord sent him, right? And according to the calendar of God, he's supposed to labor for his Chronos labor is 16 years. After he has labored faithfully for 16 years, then the Kairos season will open. Now, if, are you there? And according to this scripture, it is the Father that has the authority to determine when it is Chronos or Kairos. You are not that smart, you are not that wise. So the guy now puts in 14 years of Chronos. Meanwhile, he's expecting a harvest. And the issue of time is in the authority of the Father. Then he saw that after 14 years of effort, there was no feedback. He decides to back out, not knowing that it's just 2 years to go. So he misses the season for which he labored for 14 years because he did not submit to the Father's concept of timing and season. Everyone that is going to labor for the kingdom must understand the Father's concept of Chronos and Kairos. Jesus encountered me those days. My in-laws were in government, one of my brother-in-law, and I was in the oil industry, as I told you. Because they were in government, they were so powerful. And he saw me one day and said, see how lean you are. Because those days I fasted, oh Jesus Christ, and my stomach could almost touch the back. So he saw me one day and said, you don't look okay. What's wrong? He's a big man. I said, I've been seeking the Lord. No, you need a vacation. So he made all the connections everywhere in the entire country. They released me from work. Paid for my ticket, sent me to a country to go and rest for 2 weeks. I should not fast, I should not pray. Just eat, and come back and show him that I have fought well. So I arrived there by 2 a.m. in the morning, got to the hotel, entered the restaurant, ordered food. The menu was written in Indian language. So when they brought it, I didn't know the difference. I just picked one. When they brought the food, I've never seen that kind of food in my life. It was greenish. It was lemon green in color. So when I ate it, It tasted like Maggi. So I had to pour it out of. I said, my God, what's this? The guy now looked for all the English he knows. Then he now said, this drug, that is trying to tell me that is healthy food. If I eat it, it may not be tasty, but it is drug. I told him I'm not sick. That what I...
Jesus.
All of this was happening like 3:30 a.m. in the morning. So it was obvious I could not eat because I tried to speak to complain. The guy could not hear. Was speaking Indian language. Then I now called myself to order. We will continue this till daybreak. Can you take your bag and go to the room? So I left it. I speak English, he was speaking Indian. As long as I was talking, he was talking. So I realized that we would tarry there for a long time. I had to leave him. And I accessed my room. The moment I entered my room, Jesus came out of the wall. Came out of the wall. And he walked. The moment I saw that light, I knew that if I wait for the full intensity of the light to come out, I'll be blind. So I just laid on the ground and hid my eyes. Even though my eyes were closed, when it passed close to my head, I knew it. I was vibrating from head to toe. And Jesus, that was when he spoke to me. He said it 4 times, that when I go back to Nigeria, I should focus on the youth. That if I am faithful to him, he will open the gates of nations to me. Right? What are you clapping for now? When I spoke about aligning with timing, with chronos and kairos, you were pitying yourself, you didn't clap. When I said the gate of nations, you like that one? May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus Christ. The way I'm seeing you, your yellow boss, your truck, the truck, you will need 12 years before you. Hey. Hallelujah. So that was 2009. I came back from that trip and I began to hop from campus to campus in Nigeria. Because instead I should focus on the youth. I should use the gift of teaching that was upon my life to open the eyes of the young people so that they will not be distracted. So the platform I like most is this one, this type. This campus. Oh! That's the best. I hopped from campus to campus for 10 years. 2009 to 2019, went around Nigeria 6 times in 10 years. Young people got born again, got saved, got delivered, got healed, got empowered for 12 years. That was what I was doing. I was on the next flight. I was on the other flight. I was in the other vehicle. I was in the bus. I was going from campus to campus from 2009 to 2019. Exactly. Now stay with me. I'm trying to teach this scripture. Huh? Stop clapping. 2019, 19th of August. I was in a certain city, left work, finished work for the day. Since I didn't have any offshore engagement, I was on a flight. Arrived at city, the minister that invited me ushered me into my hotel room. They were making noise there. I drove all of them out. I said, don't come back. Even the ones that want to bring food, I said, don't come back. Succeeded in locking the door. Then I just knelt down and Jesus came again. I didn't know it was 10 years. Oh, you are not with me. That's 2019. I didn't know it was 10 years. And then Jesus began to speak to me about resigning from my job so that I can go to the nations. As he told me 10 years ago. That means I was faithful. That's why he's coming to fulfill his promise to me. He came 10 years later. He said, but you know, when I was doing that journey, I didn't know it would be 10 years. Oh, let me leave. I thought I was talking to people. Don't worry. That's why I said I won't explain this scripture. It's for pastors. Let's leave it like that. Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which God has set in his own authority. One of the ways Jesus will prove you is through Kairos and Chronos. As a kingdom man, I won't go beyond that. Number what? Four. Which is where I'm going. Number four is where I'm going. That is what the subject of the meeting tonight is about. Let me try one more time if I can succeed with explaining this scripture. If I don't succeed again, then it's not God's will. Jesus came to me 19th of August 2019 and said to me, I've come to set you free so that where I am, there also will my servant be. Then he walked in. I say, come back, oh, come back. What you said has no meaning. Do you give people directions by making them confused? I've come to set you free so that where I am, there also my servant will be. Hey! So I took prayer. I took prayer for 1 year to know the meaning of that parable. Yes, for 1 year. As simple as the utterance is, you will think you know the meaning. You might be snared by attempting to implement that policy when you don't know the meaning. So it took me 1 year to pray in order to understand the meaning of that riddle. That 1 year, almost towards the end of the year, that year finished. He didn't give me the interpretation of that parable. I started praying again the next year, going down like that. Then I think it was around August the next year. Now came again. I said, when will your international passport expire? I said, on the 28th of September 2020. He said, your job also expires that day. You know, he has interpreted it. You know, he gave me a parable before. I labored on the parable for one calendar year from August to August. Then he came back and said, the meaning of my parable is that your job is prison for you now. The time has come for you to go to the nations and represent me. And you cannot do that on your job. So when is your passport expiring? 28th of September 2020. He said your job expires that day. After that day, go and resign. It was just 2 weeks for me to become a manager. And when I become a manager, my table, my office, oh Jesus. Oh, you don't understand it. If the office, the table alone is enough to make you have bass voice. Bass. 2 weeks to the exam that I will write that will move me into that position. He said, your job has expired. So he said the job will expire on the 28th of September. So I turned in my resignation on the 5th of October. Because the time has come for me to go to the nations. Prior to this time, I had invitations. But I knew the time had not come. Because he told me that if I'm faithful to the youth, he will open the gates of nations to me. It's not as if I will go and beg people to invite me. I will go and ask people, you know, I preach. I also do preaching. I also do preaching. All of these things took place according
according to Kairos and Chronos. The 10 years that I preached with the youth was the Chronos season. The Chronos season, as I went from campus to campus, the people I went to preach to did not have the money to pay for my ticket. So all the campuses that I went to, in terms of debit and credit, I was losing financially to take the gospel there. But the reason why I was fully mobilized was because I knew it was Jesus that sent me. There were many people that said I was crazy going to preach on campus because they say it's not sustainable, I'm not going to make money, how do I want to break through doing this kind of stuff? But you know what? They did not know that it was Jesus that sent me. Some others that were concerned called me and said, you are just wasting your gift going to teach here and there. Instead of you to come and start a church in a big city like Lagos and then put this your teaching there, it would turn to something else. They don't know that. It was who spoke to me? In your journey with God, in the assignment that God gives you, there is a Chronos time and there is a Kairos time. Are you there? So when Jesus spoke this to me, he spoke this to me that same year. He told me to leave my job. I went to London for the first time before COVID for a prophetic conference. Prior to this time, if I apply for a visa anywhere, it's denied. I thought it was Satan. I didn't know it was the Chronos time. It was not time for me to start going anywhere. May you not call the dealings of God Satan in the name of Jesus. May your eyes be open to understand the administration of timing that is in the Father's authority in the name of Jesus. Applied for Germany? No. Applied for UK? No. Applied for Canada? No. But when the time came, I applied for UK, and the application I did, I made so many mistakes. The time that it was so intact, got all the letters from all government support letters. No. This one I made mistake and there was no support letter. Yes. It was before COVID. I preached a sermon. And that sermon introduced me to the whole of Europe. The reason why it was happening like that was because the Kairos time. But I couldn't read it until Jesus came to speak to me and say that the job expires when the passport expires. A new season came into my life. In fact, the anointing tripled. The anointing tripled. It was in this season that God said, I will send you to Ghana. I will send you to the United Kingdom. I will send you to South Africa. These were the three nations he mentioned to me. Then I did not know Pastor Dan. Are you there? When the time came, God began to be the one to announce me, not me announcing myself. First time I stood in South Africa, I was preaching like this, and there was a woman there on the wheelchair. They brought her in. And when we began the miracle service, that woman stood up from that wheelchair. And she began to walk straight. She was on that wheelchair for a long time. That night, she stood up and began to walk straight. Not limping, you know, walking straight. Straight. All kinds of things began to take place. Because it was the Kairos time. Please help me tell your neighbor, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons
which God has set in his own authority.
Maybe you are expecting a breakthrough and it has not yet come. The authority behind the timing of your breakthrough is in the Father's hand. This was a major lesson Jesus taught the people that were undergoing in doctrine. Don't come to serve God and you have your own calendar of how God should bless you, how God should open doors for you. You are a hireling, you are not a servant. Jesus says, say ye not, yet 4 months and then the harvest. But lift up now thine eyes. The human calendar is never in alignment with the divine calendar, because such timing issues are held under the authority of the Father. And number 4, which is my point for the night, Jesus now said, we cannot extend the frontiers of the kingdom without power. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Because what will happen tonight is this scripture. Please help me tell your neighbor, you shall receive power. There is an empowerment that God will be effecting tonight. And that is what this meeting tonight is about. So Jesus said, we cannot do kingdom business except we have the utensil called power. He said this power has a source. This power will be the result of the Holy Ghost coming upon your life. This power will be one of the manifestations of the abilities of the Holy Spirit that you have received. This power will be an evidence of the fact that you have spiritual capital. So when God makes spiritual capital available to you in the person of the Holy Ghost, you have so much potential. You are capable of so much. And God will give me grace to explain to you your capabilities. Let me try to explain. Because you must receive power this night. You must receive it. Now, do you have a refinery in Ghana? You have a refinery here? Takradale? Huh? Tema? Are you sure of that? I've been to Tema. I only saw tank farms. I didn't see any refinery in Tema. Well, I heard you have a refinery, so I'm sure of that. But where it is, even you and me, we don't know for now. Crude oil is a complex mixture of hydrocarbons. Listen to me. I want to teach you some things about our work. So it's a complex mixture of hydrocarbons. And a refinery is a simple fractional distillation column, for those of you that are scientists. So you introduce the crude oil into the refinery. Stay with me. When you introduce it, then you begin to increase the temperature. When you begin to increase the temperature, the products will begin to come out from the lighter products to the heavy products. Why am I teaching you about refinery operations? The word translated power here is dunamis. Dunamis talks about potential energy. Dunamis is not useful in its crude state. Dunamis needs to go through refinement before its useful fractions will come out. Are you there? Just like crude oil. There are four words in the Greek language used for power. One of them is dunamis. Dunamis has two meanings. The first meaning of dunamis is inherent energy. Pastor Judith, you said you have an Android phone. Is that true? And if you want to get an application for an Android phone, you go to Google Store. Find the application you are looking for. You download it. It begins to download 20%, 40%, 70%, 80%, 100%. Then it begins to initialize. Then it now says open. The moment you download that application from the cloud into your phone, the application no longer belongs to Google. The application belongs to you. You determine when you use it. Is that true? That's the same thing with dunamis. It's inherent energy. The day you received Holy Ghost baptism, it was a software that was downloaded into you. Now, the moment that software was downloaded into you, you don't need to go to God to take permission to speak in tongues. You can use the resource at will. Your ability to speak in tongues is the only gift you receive from God that you can operate at will. Every other gift that you receive from God comes into operation when the Spirit of God wills. Are you there? But your ability to speak in tongues is inherent. So you can use it as you will. And that is what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says. That I will pray in my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. You can do it at will because dunamis is inherent. Second meaning of dunamis is potential energy. Just like crude oil, it's a complex mixture of hydrocarbons. There's energy in it, but you will need to take it through refinement before the fine fractions that are useful will fraction it out. You get it? So when you bring the crude oil and put it into the refinery, and you begin to increase the pressure and increase the temperature, what happens is that the first fraction you will find is what we call the associated gases. Associated gases like heating oil, heating gas, like LPG, the one you use to cook in your kitchen, at 65 degrees, LPG is already coming down. So they trap it in a gas tank. Are you there? At 97 degrees, aviation turbine kerosene begins to come out. That's the kerosene that is used to power jet engines. They trap it in a tank. At 105 degrees, premium motor spirit, super, begins to come out. That's what you call your petrol. You trap it in another tank. Are you following? So you keep trapping these fractions. Now, this scripture says you will receive power after that the dunamis is come upon you. It means that one of the fractions that will come outside of dunamis is power. The dunamis is beyond just that one fraction. Dunamis is a complex mixture. Power can come out of it just like kerosene, diesel, bitumen, asphalt. One product producing many fractions. That's how the Holy Ghost in you is. If you generate enough temperature, you generate enough pressure, it will produce power. If you generate enough temperature, generate pressure, it will produce wisdom. If you generate enough temperature, generate enough pressure, it will produce another product. You see, the products are unending. Because it is a resource that is not natural. It's a supernatural resource. It's spiritual capital. As long as you can put it in the refinery or speaking in tongues, your ability to speak in tongues is the refinery. Then the products
at various intensities will begin to manifest. So when I come to, before I come to preach to you, I go to the refinery. I exercise it. Exercise it for hours. For hours. Then the wisdom as to what I will preach will come out. The wisdom as to the categories of people God wants to encounter will come out. The wisdom as in the kind of sicknesses God wants to touch will come out of that refinery. And you see, a refinery needs to run for 25 years before you do turnaround maintenance. That means if you are really operating a refinery, you don't start prayer today, you go 2 hours today, then you break down tomorrow. That refinery, in fact, the government will stop it. Are you there? You do 25 years before you do turnaround maintenance. That means for 25 years steady, there should be no break in transmission. You are just producing products. So power is one of the products. Wisdom is another product. He said, this is how you maintain your favor in the spirit. If we move to Acts chapter 2, beginning from verse 42, you will see the fourfold agenda of the apostolic church. Whereas, are you there? 42, not 32, please. Fourfold agenda. Acts 2:42. Say, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice that the fourth agenda is prayers. Prayer, I'm talking about congregational prayer, community prayer, communal prayer. It's the source of the mechanical energy that drives church life. If you are a member of any church or a pastor of any church here, and you don't have a prayer culture as a church community, what you are doing is entertainment. And we just left Accra before we came here. I saw a lot of entertainment going on in Accra in the name of church. You know what you are doing? You are wasting those people's lives. The people that are your members. You are encouraged. You are the agent that is wasting their life. Because you are exposing them to entertainment. What these guys had was a culture of mechanical energy. It's just like you have a well that is deep and there's a simple machine that you use to get water. So you, as long as you are applying mechanical energy, you are drawing that water out. So if we are going to draw corporately, our corporate capacity, our corporate strength, our corporate refinery, if any product will come out, it means that the mechanical energy must be intact. Must be intact. If there will be fire in Bible study, it will just be fire on Tuesday Bible study. If there will be fire on Sunday morning service, it means that the mechanical energy. That was something that they never stopped. And they were a people of prayer. If you look at them from outside, say, hey, they are prayer people. That's how you see them. He said, and I will bring them upon my holy mountain. I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their sacrifices and burnt offerings shall be accepted upon my altar. And my house among all nations shall be called the house of prayer. See, that's the culture. When you come to join the church community, we afflict you with prayer. Afflict you. And it's either you run away, or if you stay, prayer will conquer you. That's the kind of thing. So we have people here that are not conquered by prayer, and they are hoping to make a change. You lie. Take a trip to Bogatanga and see how wizards, how they make things work. You are no match. Don't deceive yourself and think that all this dance we dance on Sunday morning, you will finish dancing like this for 12 years. Then you go out to face life and you will be competent to deal with the devils that you will meet. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up from your sleep. Wake up. So from Accra down here, I saw places where they danced. Hey, hey, hey. I know you won't clap now because I'm striking. It's one of the major agendas of our culture. That is where we generate mechanical energy. We generate it. We generate it. At least once in a month, you should pray for long. When I say pray for long, something like 5 hours and above, if you are going to be spiritually healthy, once in a month, you should pray for long, 10 hours. Yes. If I really get ready to pray, if I get ready to pray, it's 15 hours. That's, I'm missing prayer, so I want to just update. Meanwhile, I do the 3 hours, 4 hours, I do it. That's sport. It's, I'm playing. I'm just trying to catch my breath. 4 hours. I'm not telling you this boastfully. This is my life. If something is nothing, the intention to kill me, I'm announcing it so that they will prepare well. Because the energy that travels when the refinery is been working for 15 hours, that's what I move with. You will need to collocate demons from different cities to challenge that kind of energy. If you pray that way, what the result is not an accident. You know, it's not an accident. We've been everywhere. There was no nation we entered that we could not conquer. There was none. From South Africa, Johannesburg, to Pietermaritzburg, to Cape Town, to Zimbabwe, to Harare, to Philip, what's the name of that village that we went to? The demons will be saying, "You are dead. We will kill you. We will kill you. Where did you come from?" I've heard it in Zulu. I've heard it in Zimbabwe language. I've heard it in Swahili of Tanzania. I heard it. They say, "You are dead." Because I will ask my interpreter, "What did this one say?" He said, "You have died." I said, "Okay. I've heard it." So witches want me dead, but I'm still here. The reason is because the energy we generate, even if you do 2 years of witchcraft, you can't generate it. Prayer is the mechanical energy that empowers church life. So we afflict you. If you are my disciple, you give your life to Christ and you say, "You want to learn the Lord with me." The first thing I will do to you is to open the valves of your spirit by 7 hours prayer. We do that on Monday, we do it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Next week, you, even if I don't come, you can do it by yourself. And a man whose valves are open, he can hear God. A man whose valves are open, and that's the strength of a believer, to know that your God can speak. This fun we do is a waste of life, because that's not how our ancestors did it. Jesus was preparing them to be able to take on devils, kings, intellectuals, monarchs, warlocks, as they go on the campaign to extend the frontiers of the kingdom. I've met with intellectuals in the United Kingdom. This is where, I mean, Scottish and British, their glasses are on their nose. I met them. That's the reason why I do practical, theory and practical. When I finish talking, I demonstrate it. The man did not believe, because I said, "Eyes will be healed." He didn't believe he was watching me. So the person by his side here started seeing. The woman by his side here started seeing. Many other people started seeing, and they were throwing their glasses away. He was the only one that had his own on. He now looked like this. In those societies where they believe there is no God, there is only one way we can prove it. By power. By power. By power. Somebody say power. I said somebody say power. That's the only way we can prove it. They say the gospel is becoming obsolete. It's because there are powerless people preaching it. The day men of power come on the scene, it will gain its stature again. And I don't want to be a talkative of scripture. I want to be able to demonstrate its efficacy. That's where the refinery comes in. And he shall receive dunamis. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the home of religion. The Jews in Jerusalem don't convert to any religion. So it was a sociological wonder for the 12 disciples of Jesus to be Jews. Are you there? It was power. They saw a dead man come back to life. People couldn't sleep. They said, what is going on? Before they finished digesting that one, Jesus will stand up the next day and crippled people will start walking. Your dead religion has no authority where power is on display. That was how the attention of kings was captured. The attention of nations were captured. And that's the same job description that God has called us to do. And so tonight you shall receive power. It is when we have power that the community around us will feel the heat, the impact of the endowment that God has made available. Hallelujah. Went for a meeting. We got to a place, the roads were bad. We were on the road for 9 hours. Rugged road. The alignment of my waist was in trouble by the time we arrived. And when we got there, the crowd, this is not a crowd. This is not a crowd. Any crowd that is not up to 5,000 is not a crowd. Came there and saw a crowd. The moment I saw that crowd, the weakness left. And we didn't have time because the people were waiting for us while we were still in transit. We got there in the night. The crowd was there. So they said, okay, the pastor from Nigeria will come and greet you and then we'll close tonight. That greeting, when I was greeting the people, and then we made a mistake and said, in the name of Jesus. So, in the name of Jesus, that's how the power of God went like a bomb somewhere. Two witches began to confess. We couldn't go again. The weakness had gone because power swallowed it. The congregation that waited, they sang praise and worship until their mouth was dry. When power came, they were revived. The singers suddenly, hey, what can we do without power? What can we do without power? Are you talking of souls? People in one accord, on their own accord, began to respond to Jesus. I don't know how many of them I took to the river for baptism the next morning. The number was heavy. We got to the place for baptism. And the Lord spoke to me in my left ear. He said, the pool of Bethesda. That's what he told me. The pool of Bethesda. And I know the pool of Bethesda. That's where that people used to dive in. An angel used to stir the waters. And people that were sick, the first person that enters is healed. So when he said, Bethesda, I asked him, what do you mean?
Then he said that he will use this river to heal today. So I now entered the river. I prayed on it. And I said, well, as you are getting baptized, when you come out, you'll be healed. So we started the baptism. People that were possessed, when they entered, they begin to manifest. We were doing deliverance. Healing was taking place from the river. Healing. We came there 12 noon. Healing took place at the river till 4 p.m. But by 4 past 4, that we started singing, coming out. You need to see the joy there. Power. Just power. Oh, they brought HIV positive. It was like a market of people. Those were cases that the hospitals could not handle. Those were cases that the clinics could not handle. God has an answer. And the answer is power. Tonight, you will receive power. Sister Gifty, equip yourself with a microphone. Because we want to go on a journey now. The journey that we have been preparing for 3 days. It is time to go on a journey. We just got back from Europe. Went to Glasgow to minister. And they brought this guy deaf and dumb from his mother's womb. The guy was like 29 years old. An Indian. And he came with his mom. And probably some people that know the guy and know his condition. I began to pray for and cast out deafening spirits. When I ministered to people that have deafening spirits, the guy did not hear. So I asked him to come out. And I told God that I'm interested in this man's case. That even if God is not willing, me, I am interested. Let him do it because of me. So I remain there, praying for him. That's how his ear opened, his mouth opened. The man began to hear. The man began to speak. After that miracle happened, to get the congregation to be quiet became difficult. Oh, I think they said white men don't like talking. They are quiet. It's not true. They have not seen what to talk about. Because, people were talking. I said, in Jesus' name, they didn't listen to me. The man could hear. The man could speak. I don't want to tell you the result of that miracle. Because you will not even believe the result of the miracle. Tonight, we need to shake our world. We need to shake Tamale. We need to shake Ghana. And this number is enough. This number is enough to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. I know what I'm talking about. Oh, the other day they say, oh, there is a wizard. This wizard is powerful. That place we are going, there's a wizard. We didn't even focus on the wizard. We didn't even focus on him. When fire caught him up. So he's been practicing witchcraft. It doesn't matter how many years. I know power. I know it. I know what he can do. Tonight we are going to energize our refinery. Can you rise on your feet? I want you to despise powerlessness. Hate powerlessness. According to Jesus, natural life is supernatural. Jesus said that these signs will follow them that believe. Everyone that believes should be identified by something that is supernatural. Jesus understands that we need power to prosecute natural life. Tonight, I challenge you to despise that powerless existence. I challenge you to despise it and to trust God tonight to lay hold on power.
You are the Lord Most High, you are the Lord.
Just focus and be praying in the spirit.
You are the Lord Most High, you are the Lord. You are the Lord Most High, you are the Lord. You are the Lord Most High, you are the Lord. I enter the holies of holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you all. Lord, I enter into the bed I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord,
You are love, hey, my daddy, my daddy.
Something is about to come your way tonight. We cannot be a powerless generation. If you are going to stand out, it will be by power. If you are going to make a mark, it's going to be by power. If we are going to break forth, it will be by power. So he says, ye shall receive power. It's the basic equipment for life. A basic utensil for destiny. Tonight he doesn't want us to be powerless people. Something will come upon your life. Tonight is your night. As we make demands on heaven. He will spread forth his hand. With grace. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, if I say in Jesus' name, you give me a big amen. In the name of Jesus. 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 Because I want to make a request right now. Father, I said if it is possible, let us be quiet. Father, in the name of Jesus, my first request tonight is that you will stretch forth your hand and you will deposit upon us the spirit of supplication, the spirit of intercession, the grace to tarry in your presence, the grace to hold onto the horns of the altar, that you will distribute that grace in our midst, even tonight. And so I ask, Lord, from the overflow outside, to the ground floor, to the balcony. Choose from among us men, women, that will carry the fire of supplication, the fire of intercession, men that cannot be defeated, men that will not yield. That anointing, that radical grace, that radical grace, that radical grace that makes a champion, that makes a champion. Let that grace, let it rest. Father, we also ask that it might please you tonight to deposit your fire, raw fire, raw fire, raw fire on your people. Men and women, boys and girls, show us a sign of fire, a sign of fire, a sign of fire. A sign of fire, 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 a sign of fire. The fire that we kindle our seal. The fire that will keep us walking in holiness perpetually. That will make us detest sin. That fire is what we ask. Show us a sign of fire. Let the power of sin break from off the life of my brother, of my sister tonight. Because of fire. There is a medical student here. Studying medicine, you are doing well. But God wants to put medicine in your left hand and healing in your right hand. So, Father, that medical student that you are putting medicine in the left hand and healing on the right hand, arrest that one. Arrest that one. The empowerment is for you. As you go into medical practice, you will have medicine on the left, you will have healing on the right. Father, that one that you will release as a missionary of power in the northern region, moving from upper west to upper east, doing damage to the devil. I ask, isolate that one from the congregation and empower, 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 and empower. Holy Ghost! Lord, that prophet of northern Ghana that you are raising, raising in a regimented discipline, raising in the practice of the culture of prayer and purity, that prophet of the north that you brought to this congregation so that you can impart grace, I ask anywhere he or she is standing or sitting, visit by fire, visit by fire, visit by fire, visit by fire, visit by fire. If you are a young lady here, ...19 years and below, young lady, 19 years and below. Okay, let's make it 20. 20 years and below. The Lord wants to recruit priestesses. Take your right hand, put it on your stomach. 20 years and below. 20 years and below. 20 years and below. 20 years and below. Just put your hand here. The Lord wants to conscript priestesses, ladies, that will be given to intercession for throughout their lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that it might please you to pick your priestesses, the priestesses of the altar, those that you will teach the language of intercession, the discipline of prayer, the art of prayer, deposit the anointing, deposit, 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 deposit it, deposit it, deposit it. Deposit it. Deposit it. Deposit it. Let the raging fire of supplication enter their wombs. Enter their wombs. The fire of supplication. Raise for yourself a new generation. A new set of priests. Yes, the fire is raging. It 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 is raging. Can see a lady there. You are standing on the balcony. In the next 12 seconds, the fire of the Lord will locate you. Father, locate that one. 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 Holy Ghost! Apostle Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such that I have, I give unto you. There is a fire that Jesus has put over my life. Tonight, if you desire that fire, but I must warn you, it requires a lot of sacrifice to maintain. I must warn you, it will not allow you to live a normal life. Asia Kambela Ikompes Kiteba Nakuria Ameli Deke Sami Akonde Edeke Dekoda Bila. Atameno omboro. Those of you that hunger, those of you that thirst, the
Lord will satisfy your hunger tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. You have placed upon me and placed on anyone whose heart is open to receive. Take from the fire on my life. Put it on anyone whose heart is open. Put it strong. 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 It's even coming stronger. Put it strong. Put it strong. Put it strong! Put it strong!
Oh, gift of working of miracles will come upon five people with great burning. Great burning. It will come in 17 seconds. It will come in 17 seconds. It will come in 17 seconds. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Let your banner on the UDS campus, let it rise. Let nothing challenge it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we plant your name on this campus. We plant it by fire. Let nothing bring it down. In the name of Jesus Christ, let godly men and godly women rise from this campus to change this nation. Kana, I bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you by the power that is in the Holy Ghost. Praise. Please. Now, that sister, touch that lady, the one with sky blue. Come. Come down. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, let us pray. Holy man, turn the eskito bramina kabalaito. Iga bembros katabosi kamenta ilakadi. Grace is released. Strength is released. The hand of God rests upon you. Oh, we give you praise. Where is that sister? Come here. I have a package for you. So, transfer the flame. Put it upon this lady. Transfer the flame. Transfer the flame. Put it upon her life. From the crown of her head to the toes of her feet. The fire that burned for so many years. Let it come upon this one.
Sing your praise.